What a Wednesday. It is a very nice Wednesday here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Very springy. I feel springy. It's rumor innuendo. I'm Dominic D'Angelo, and that's Robert Karpeles right over here. WE creative underscore ish. Robert, how are you, man?
I looked. You're like, he's right over there. I'm like, wait, where? And then I realized it's me. Yes, I'm in the box. I'm in beautiful, sunny Boca Raton, Florida. It is a very springy 81 degrees outside right now. So feels absolutely delightful. And it is delightful being here with you, Mr. Dominic D'Angelo. We got a hell of a show today. And it's nice to be here with some of the folks who are here in the chat. We got Dre Owens, who says, made it just in time. It's always a good time for you to be here. And Lou 4237 says, and good morning slash afternoon. Could be evening, depending on where you are. We got folks listening to us all over the globe, but what are we talking about with these people all over the world today? There was no seamless transition there, man.
That's all right. Yes, we're going to be obviously previewing AEW Dynamite tonight. They got a pretty interesting card going on. We're going to talk about Drew McIntyre and his ongoing contract talks. Undertaker talks Gunther, so we're going to talk about that. CM Punk has an arm brace off. And also, we're going to talk a little bit of Bray Wyatt, a little discussion there. But yes, Robert, let's start off with the AEW Dynamite preview. It is hailing from up in Toronto, Canada. And the main event will be Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland. I believe this is their third rendezvous, and it is an I Quit match. We also have Eddie Kingston versus Okada for the Continental Championship. Tony Storm and Maria May versus Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. Chris Jericho versus Hook. And we'll hear from Mercedes Moné as well. So, Robert, what do you think of this card? What do you expect to happen? What do you hope to happen?
Well, when they're in Canada, you're going to get a white hot audience. I think that's one of the benefits of when you go into any Canadian city. They're loyal fans, they're rabid fans, they're smart fans who understand what it is that they are seeing. And the AEW performers seem to respond best when there is that that raucous audience, that crowd that is just hungry for it. You're giving them Christian Cage, Adam Copeland in an I Quit match. It's kind of one of those, you're playing so heavy into the fact that it's the hometown crowd. Obviously, Edge and Christian, I'm just calling him Edge. It's weird calling him Copeland or Cope. Even when I work with them, call them Edge. Edge and Christian getting a chance to work in front of their home crowd. Like, this is what they want to be able to do. It's what Edge worked so hard to come back for. It's what Christian worked so hard to come back for. So for all of the criticisms we may have about the efficacy of their one-on-one matches, the fact that we've seen it a lot, it doesn't really matter. It's these guys doing what it is that they want to do, and good, bad, or indifferent, sometimes that is the hallmark of the Tony Khan booking style. You let guys do what they want to do. We saw where that did not work to their favor on Collision. We didn't get a chance to talk about that on the run sheet from Monday, but the Collision ratings were under 400,000 viewers for a Bryan Danielson Shibata match, which is a match that Danielson wanted to have. And it baffles my mind when you look at Danielson and Edge, who were main eventing WrestleMania a couple years ago, to now Danielson on a show doing sub 400,000 buys. They're not worse performers than they were in WWE. They just don't feel that same sort of star power. So I'm curious how Edge and Christian are going to be presented tonight in front of that Canadian audience, though an I Quit match, that can go either way. There are a few that have happened that are really, really spectacular. There's a lot where it is very draggy and repetitive. So We'll see. I got to look at what else is on this card. The Kingston Okada match surprised me. Mm-hmm. That felt like a match that we were going to see at AEW Destiny.
Right. Dynasty.
Yeah. AEW. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to say Dynasty. I'm going to say Dynasty. And then I said Destiny. AEW Dynasty, like, that kind of felt like that was going to be the first Okada match. And is it just for the Continental title, or is it for all three of their, like, fused hybrid combined belts?
On the graphic, it just lists the Continental title, so it's not fused or nothing like that. It's just straight up Continental Championship,
which is weird, because if Eddie is keeping the other two, I know one of them is an IWGP title, the other is the Ring of Honor world title, he's the champion who just lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's strange. I'm happy to see how they're presenting Okada, at least in this match, as a singles match, because I have not been a big fan of the triple threat match or the six-man tags or whatever they've been doing. But at the same time, have they really hyped this up enough? I feel like this should have gotten another week of a build, and this should have been your main event. It's Okada's first singles match on Dynamite. That should have been saved a week. You only get so many bites of the apple, and you could have used this one to tease that. I know there's the tag match, Tony Storm and Mariah May against Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. We were talking before air about your thoughts on Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, I love Thunder Rosa, and I think she's like could be a top women's star and like was positioned that way and still continues should be, but she's just been on Collision. And it just like we haven't seen her for months on Dynamite, if at all. And now here she is in this match, and it's just like, why not hype a major star like that, that you should be kind of building your women's division around? And like, she should have been one of your keystone stars throughout this whole women's division to keep things fresh and fireful for Mercedes Moné coming in. And like, if you did that, she would have been the prime opponent to have for Mercedes Moné moving in here. And, you know, so it's a head scratcher that you, okay, here she is in a tag match with Deonna Purrazzo. Yeah. It's like, it's been how many months and you have to reintroduce her to Dynamite, because like you said earlier, the people aren't tuning into Collision. And so here you're getting a bigger audience. Yeah. It's like, okay, here's Thunder Rosa. She's back. Wow. Okay. It's just like, you know, it's a head scratch. Like she should be up in the main event position and she's not.
You got a lot of head scratching going on today, Dom.
A lot of head scratching.
I blame the baseball cap.
I don't have
one. It's not a baseball. I blame your Penguins cap.
Okay.
There's no place for hockey in this show. says the guy who worked for the Panthers for 8 years. yeah. The strange thing is they kind of need a roster split, because when people vanish from Dynamite, if you're not watching Collision, and based on their numbers, I'm not speaking out of school here, guys. A lot of you are not watching Collision, and they don't do a great job of recapping what happens on Collision. So if they're not on Dynamite, they've vanished. And if they're only existing on Rampage, they may as well be on Mars. So, and if go even further in the galaxy to be in Ring of Honor, like you're in Uranus. I just wanted to be able to say that because I'm
not sure. I know.
It's a challenge that they have, because if you don't have those clearly defined rules, then it feels like Thunder Rosa has vanished. If you are a Thunder Rosa fan, which a lot of people are from what you've seen with Collision, her participation in Busted Open, mm-hmm. If you know, hey, she's going to be on Saturdays, that makes a destination viewing if you are a Thunder Rosa fan. And Dre Owens here in the comments says Collision actually has decent matches. I agree.
Yeah.
The Collisions that I've watched, when I'm like, oh yeah, Collision's on the DVR, I'm gonna put this on, or I'm covering it for WrestleRoast or whatever, they always deliver a really solid match. There was a lot of great FTR matches that happened there. House of Black matches that have taken place on Collision. If you make it important appointment viewing, people will tune in. And I say this as someone who, when I was working on SmackDown, we were very much the B show. But at least our top stories existed on the like on Raw. They would show recaps, the SmackDown rebound or whatever it may be. Collision, they go away. And then when they do pop up on Dynamite, the audience is going, oh yeah, there's Thunder Rosa, rather than really excited about this match. A match I'm really excited for, though, Dom, Chris Jericho and Hook.
I know you've been talking about it. I had to settle you down before we started recording here, because it was on your mind and a little too much. But I was, yeah, it's you know, not doesn't appear it's for the FTW championship, which I think in turn is a pretty good move considering there's an I Quit match later on. So there's not going to be like some wild stuff, but maybe there will be. Who knows? Yeah, how do you just have Hook ended up winning clean and move on from Jericho, or what would you have happen here, Robert?
So Chris Jericho, man who has come up once or twice on this program previously, I have his book behind me. Usually it's easier to see, but we have stuff moved around because we're doing some renovations in the house. That notwithstanding, always been a Jericho-holic. I do have my Y2J shirt from 99 when I went to the Armageddon pay-per-view, first wrestling shirt I ever bought. So I've always held Jericho in high esteem. when he was doing an interview a little while ago and he talked about his focus on in AEW is to elevate young talent, and that's all he's been concerned about, you really have to laugh. Because the list of people who have been helped by Jericho versus the list of people who have been hindered by Jericho is completely disproportionate. And I'm concerned about what's going to happen with Hook. Because Hook, regardless of the fact that he is Taz's son, and I like Taz, and I've known Taz for a long time, Hook is a really interesting, captivating wrestler. He's someone who, despite his size, despite his lack of indie cred, immediately feels like a presence. Like, that guy comes out and the arena is just, who is this guy? What is he doing? I want to watch him. He is unbelievably watchable. Jericho is very much not the same thing. Jericho is, it's like you're watching with like your fist clenched and your teeth squeezed together, hoping, or teeth clenched and fists squeezed together. Let's strike that, reverse it. Where you're like, I really hope he doesn't do something really catastrophic that's going to embarrass him. There was a quote on one of your favorite shows, The Arn Show,
yes,
here on ad-free shows, where they were talking about Flair. When Flair got retired by Hulk Hogan back in 94, and he was kind of treating it like a shoot because he said, I don't want to continue to wrestle and be in the ring past the point of my prime, past where I'm doing my best work. And I get that Jericho, in his mind, still thinks that he's, you know, 22, 23 years old and he's Lionheart and he's, you know, ready to rip it up in Smoky Mountain with Lance Storm. But physically, the more that you see him stutter, the more that he's Willie Mays playing for the Mets, the more damaging it is for his career. So you're not elevating a young guy. You're using a young guy to kind of hold up Chris. And I'm hoping this match goes well. But, you know, Chris wants to be able to turn back the time. He wants to be able to put on those performances, Dom, that he used to. And if you want to be able to turn back time and you want to be able to put on those performances you did during the prime of your career, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. I love that wasn't even the segue I was planning on doing. It just naturally it happened. It just naturally popped up. And that's what's going to happen when you take a Blue Chew, because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. So much like Tony Khan's erratic booking, you have no idea when you're going to need to be ready to go, so you want to make sure you have that Blue Chew handy, because, guys, Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. And I am not going to divulge somebody's name, keeping it kayfabe, but somebody did send me a DM that they used that promo code Rumor, got the Blue Chew. Thankfully, didn't get into specific details, but they were a big fan.
How about that?
I'm happy we were able to help our listeners out. There's a comment here from I want to address real quick. It says, let's be honest, AEW is just not as good without MJF. The asking price that Max has now when it's time for his next contract has definitely gone up, because you do feel that void, that vacuum. You don't feel it as much without Kenny Omega. Because I think there's a lot of guys who deliver those Kenny style matches, especially now with Ospreay, who's not specifically plugged for this show tonight, which is
very strange.
But MJF was a promo, a character that people were excited about. And we're excited to move on to our next topic, Dom.
That's right. People were always excited for Bray Wyatt. And the topic has been surrounding WrestleMania season. Is he going to be a Hall of Fame inductee? We have yet to have any announcement regarding that. But there was an announcement of a documentary taking place for him that is going to air on Peacock, Becoming Immortal. And there's going to be interviews with Hulk Hogan, John Cena, Becky Lynch, Triple H, and obviously his brother, Bo Dallas, Taylor Rotunda. But I wanted to talk about the, a little interview that Eric Rowan had on via the Countout, where he was asked about the Wyatt family potentially getting inducted too as Hall of Famers. And he said, "I wouldn't even begin to think about it. Who would induct us?" He was meaning, "It's so soon since everything with the passings, and to even think about something like that, it's just ridiculous to me. But I'm holding a tiny microphone talking to you about this. I feel ridiculous in that sense as well. So it's not something that really crossed my mind." Robert, obviously, you know, I think Bray Wyatt is a certified Hall of Famer. It would be pretty neat to have somebody like Brody Lee, Luke Harper in that mix of getting inducted too. And in turn, Eric Rowan and maybe even Braun Strowman at some point. But yeah, it seems like a little early maybe for the Wyatt family to get that nod.
So it is a little, it's tough. I think you do need to induct Bray this year. They've kind of established this unfortunate pattern where when somebody does pass prematurely that next year, they go into the Hall of Fame. You get a chance to honor them, celebrate them. I would love to see that happen here. I would love to see the Wyatt family go in. As I've said before, Luke Harper was a friend of mine. His passing was really devastating at the time for me. So I would love for him to get that honor. Eric Rowan is someone who is not obviously part of the WWE family right now. He is someone who surprisingly has not found a home in any of the companies. But I thought for sure an AEW or even a TNA, Ring of Honor would use him more than they have. But I think admitting the Wyatt family is not watering down admitting Bray Wyatt into the Hall of Fame. I think you're able to honor a few people who are absolutely worthy. You don't need to put Strowman in. I guess that's potentially the concern because Braun is still an active competitor in the company. So you do have a second bite of the apple. If they decide a few years down the road they want to induct the entire Wyatt family, they can. But I suspect that Bray will go in this year. The documentary, I don't know if you saw the commercial for it on Raw, Dom, but that is heavy.
I didn't watch it because I knew it was going to be heavy. That was the aspect. It's just like, oh man, it's like knowing that that's coming. Even today when I was like making the rundown, I saw the thing. I was like, should I watch the trailer just so I'm aware of it? And I was like, I don't know if I'm like emotionally ready for that.
I watched it. It got me. Just the first moment where you hear Bo Dallas talking about his, you're like, nope, I'm. it's tough. I think the strange one, you read the list of people who are on there. Do you think just because it had the word immortal in it, they thought they needed to interview Hogan?
I have no idea.
Like, I get everybody else, but you're like, one of these things is very much not like the other.
Yeah, which one here?
And quick plug for a friend of the show, Chris Van Vliet. If you have not listened to his interview with John Cena, and I highly recommend it, he gets into detail about that Firefly Funhouse match that the two of them constructed and built, and how John laid it out and hand wrote the notes and came up with all these wacky ideas. And it still stands as one of the most unique, interesting, and amazing things that's ever happened at any wrestling show, let alone a WrestleMania. It's just, it's so insane. I will probably go back and watch that again at some point, just because it's a total blast, if for no other reason than to see the old SmackDown fist.
Right. Or John Cena and NWO shirt. I like that.
John Cena and NWO shirt was an odd sight. But what they did was they took the history of wrestling, they condensed it down, and Dom, they made a meal out of it. And if you are looking for a meal that is going to change your life, it's going to be the Firefly Funhouse for your stomach. May we recommend our friends at Factor. Guys, eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Dom, I am fired up. My first order of Factor is arriving this coming Tuesday, and I am going. Is the perfect time to do it because our show airs at noon Eastern. This is lunchtime. I'm gonna try it on air because I'm excited to sink my teeth into it. I know you have actually sampled some Factor meals before.
Absolutely. And I did the keto plan and it was awesome. Like, you know, I usually eat in the evenings later on when I'm rushing around and finishing up with social media, whatever I got to do, dirt sheet writing, you name it. But pop that in my toaster oven, 7 minutes, boom, it's right there. I had a lot of chicken meals. There was some pork meals, two options, and just really, really, I felt great. And it was like a good meal that I was didn't have to worry about cleaning up, didn't have to worry about anything like that. It was awesome. Huge fan of Factor. Very happy they're a sponsor for us here on Rumor and Innuendo, Robert.
Well, guys, head to factormeals.com/rumor50 and use code rumor50 to get 50% off. That's a hell of a deal right there, 50% off. That's code rumor50 at factormeals.com/rumor50 to get 50% off, which is impressive because Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious, and we always want something that's going to satisfy our fans here at Rumor and Innuendo. All 5,000 of you tuning in live, joining us here at noon Eastern, as well as all you who go back later on in the day and catch us, whether in video or audio format. Don't worry, we're not done with the show yet. We still got some Billion the CW news coming up. But Dom, what do we got next?
Yes. So a little bit of worlds colliding, generations colliding, apparently. We have The Undertaker. He happened to talk about the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. No, not the Honky Tonk Man. It is now Gunther. It's been that for several months now at this point. But on his 6 Feet Under podcast, he had a little quote about Gunther, and I thought it was pretty cool. The sky's the limit for him. I think he's a little bit of a throwback to a different era, but he has that ability to work and tell stories. It's, you know, it's a simple quote, but I really thought the aspect that Gunther does tell stories without really having a notable finishing move. And I thought that was kind of a neat aspect of Gunther and who he is. But there's so much, even in that contract signing on Raw, just his facials and body language when it comes to interacting with Sami Zayn and kind of looking down on him. Just, he is a throwback. He's a total throwback, Robert.
He's great. He's someone who, when you see him, you immediately are like, oh, I do not want to mess with this guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to do it with killer abs. I think people remember back in his Walter days, he was enjoying probably 3 to 4 Factor meals at a given time. But he's just got this intense face where even when he's smiling or laughing or joking, it's genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
And his in-ring style is so unique because every move feels impactful. It feels like it hurts. Those chops, I know, hurt. But when he hits the power bomb, it looks like he's folded that guy in half. We know it's safe, but at the same time, I sure as hell don't want to be taking that. Like, I'll add that to the list of moves. Guys are like, hey, you willing to take a bump? I'm like, yeah, I'm not taking a Gunther power bomb. And obviously, Taker is saying this because he's looking at the long list of stiffs that he's been put in the ring with.
Yeah.
Ethan Jones, Heidenreich, Giant Gonzalez,
King
Bundy. The amount of money a Gunther Undertaker match would have made is off the charts, but he has become such a force, which is so funny because Vince hated him. Vince was so opposed to everything about Gunther. I don't like his look. I don't like the character. I don't like the presentation of Imperium. It's boring. And now this guy he's a future WrestleMania main eventer. If not next year, then the year after. Like, it is imminent, and it's an embarrassment of riches for I would say Punk, for Hunter to have this guy under contract. And speaking of contracts,
yes, Drew McIntyre. It's been the talk of this 2024 year so far. Did he sign with WWE? Has he signed it? No, he hasn't. It's just it's ongoing, and it's been ongoing. And he was speaking on the Masked Men podcast, and he said, it's very important to me, having a new contract. It's been talked about for a very long time on the internet. I'm not the only one whose contract comes up every few years or whatever, but you would think it reading the internet. There's nothing I can say right now. I can say I'm having fun. I can say I intend to continue to have fun, and I'm in my prime. I'm younger than everyone thinks I am because I've been around for such a long time. I have years to go. No matter what, you'll still see Drew McIntyre wrestling. I can say, or Drew Galloway, and that would get everyone's attention. He knows how to work them sheets there, Robert. I'll tell you that much.
Better than Booker T. Look, Drew is 38, which in wrestling world now is right smack dab in the middle of your prime.
Yes.
Like, you're not even at the AJ Styles, Randy Orton, mid to late 40s, where you're still able to go. Drew, you can still viably get another 5 to 7 years of him as a main eventer. My hope with all of this contract talk is, given how good he is at needling the internet, there was another guy who won a world title without a contract, and that became a story in and of itself, and that's CM Punk. Mm-hmm. So this starts to feel very intentional that this guy who was trolling CM Punk is out there talking about how he does not have a contract and he's going up for the world title. And I want to see Punk, I want to see Drew, I'm sorry, make this a part of his presentation and use it to continue to irritate Phil Brooks.
That's a great point, Robert. I didn't even consider that, but yeah, you're right. It's just like, what's next for Drew? Is it that air of mystery, that added air of mystery in a time where kayfabe is dead? And so it's pretty cool that he's leaning into the Punk stuff on top of it, making it his own, and just really making the case for him to be the next world wrestling WWE world heavyweight champion, whatever they call it now. So very exciting. Drew's awesome. He's number one, I think, in my book right now, going heading into WrestleMania. So I love the work he's doing in the ring. So it's good stuff, Robert.
Well, someone else who may be heading to WrestleMania is Drew's other antagonist, CM Punk.
That's correct. He is. He made mention of that either one way or another, that he will be there, whether they like it or not. How are you going to incorporate CM Punk into WrestleMania, Robert? What are you going to do?
So we've talked before about how I want to see Punk be the guy to induct Paul Heyman. I mm-hmm. think that makes the most sense because there's storyline intrigue to it. He is very much a Paul Heyman guy, and he will get a great reaction from that crowd in Philly, and that makes it a must-watch moment. Some people have said, do you think Punk's going to be the special guest referee for Drew and Seth? I would rather just use him in some way as a commentator. I liked what they did at the WrestleMania press conference where he was just at one of the tables, you know, as one of the pundits. I think that could be fun. Maybe replacing Booker T. But you know, we'll see. I like that he's rehabbing quickly. I know that there was a note you had that he considers Charlotte Flair his spirit animal. Charlotte, who's working like triple time to get back sooner rather than later. I want Punk to take the full time to heal up because I do not want him back and then immediately hurt himself again.
Yeah, he's got the arm brace off and he's working. Yeah, and he posted that on Instagram. And did make mention of tag Charlotte in there, said she's my spirit animal.
So there's no room for him on the WrestleMania card. So no. Just relax.
And you know what, Robert? If you put him on commentary, even for that match, like has tension both with Seth and Drew. So you could maybe do a little something with that. But yeah, I'm with you. I would not want him to see as a special guest referee or very much incorporated into the match itself. Just
let me try this again, Dom. There's no room for him on the WrestleMania card.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you're correct, Robert, because there's so many more matches to be announced, it seems, according to WrestleVotes. I'm looking at the rundown.
So smooth.
Yes.
Just smoother than one of those factor smoothies that you can get, which are delicious from what I have been told.
Promo code rumor.
Stop rumor 50.
Yeah, rumor 50. That's it. Okay, so WrestleVotes happen to say the indication from sources suggests we'll see up to 4 more WrestleMania matches announced for the event. As of now, the working plan is to feature 7 matches per night on the main card. Robert, that's not bad. That's not a bad number for WrestleMania nights, I don't think.
It's not. And when we talk about 4, we've hypothesized, we pontificated on here about what those may be. My prediction, not a spoiler, but a prediction, I think that the Kabuki Warriors against Naomi and Bianca Belair, we've talked about that for a while, is one of them. something involving the LWO and Legado, whether that is the Santos Escobar Rey Mysterio one-on-one match, a multi-man match, a multi-person match, we don't know. Something involving Lashley and his crew and Karrion Kross and his crew, whether that is a singles match or a multi-person match. And then that fourth match, that final match, who's the one guy? I'm doing the hand gesture for those of you watching, who has to be a part of WrestleMania 40. That's John Cena in some capacity, some way, shape, or form. Those would be the four matches that we would see added to this Mania card. But yeah, I like, you know, seven a night. You want to make sure people that are attending live get their money's worth, but I don't need 6 hour long pay-per-views or premium live events.
You think the Andre the Giant Battle Royal would maybe take place on the kickoff, or do you think they would not even use it this year?
If you're going to use it, you can do it on the kickoff if they're going to make it mean something. I know in previous years they've done it on SmackDown.
That's true. Yes.
Good point. So we'll see. But you know what I could use more of? I could use more Dominic D'Angelo on other shows. No, not like that, you jerk. Where else can the people? I will take this back. I will not let you plug your other stuff, man.
Okay.
I will get Magnum TA to go kick your ass, and I'm pretty sure at his age he could still beat the hell out of you.
Hey, he is the boss, and you can tune into Straight Talk with the Boss every Tuesday. Go to Gagne and Magnum.com. The new episode drops on there. We got all kinds of clips on there as well. But yeah, you can hit the podcast feed. Just type in Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne, Magnum TA. And then also, hey, go to RVDTV.com for One of a Kind with RVD. Some good clips coming up there. We talked about Muhammad Ali, talked about Mike Tyson. Rob has a really cool perspective that he took on Muhammad Ali and what made him stand out as a talent too. So definitely check that out. Go to RVDTV.com, Gagne and Magnum.com. And guys, I will be around for WrestleMania. I will be on site in Philadelphia for WrestleMania doing coverage for this show for you guys right here. So that's what I got on tap. Robert, what do you got on tap, good sir?
First of all, guys, if you see Dom in the wild and you're in WrestleMania, let's get a picture with him. Tag it with that hashtag RIPod. I want to see that that slightly goofy smile all over the place. And it's cool because when I was at the Boca Raton Championship Wrestling Show on Sunday, someone came up to me and said that they're a big fan of our Rumor and Innuendo show here. So it's always cool to interact with other wrestling fans. I have another podcast, if you want to interact a little further, called Wrestle Roasts with three professional comedians, Mike Lawrence, Scott Chaplin, and Dan St. Germain. Dan was our guest a couple weeks ago, plugging his YouTube comedy special, Dance Fatty Dance. And this coming Monday, we have another huge guest. We will be joined by the Blue Meanie, who's going to be talking about what he's going to be doing WrestleMania week and where you can meet him. We have another guest. I'm not going to say who, but we have it teed up for WrestleMania week. It's an interesting one. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a little tease right there for the, believe it or not, for the 7,000 people who are watching us live right now. We crossed a new milestone. We appreciate all of you for spreading the word about Rumor and Innuendo. We love to see this show continue to grow. You can follow us or catch this show streaming live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern at the WWCreative_ish Twitter account, the Dominic D'Angelo Twitter account, the SE Scoops Twitter account, the Podcast Heat Twitter account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, as well as on YouTube, on Rumor and Innuendo, and on ad-free shows when we are not bumped by that dastardly, horrible Global Force nightmare himself, Jeff Jarrett. So on behalf of the continuing to giggle Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
I'm an advocate for Robert Karpolis.